We of Mars have learned to keep the right pictures before the minds of our youth that they may not be so sorely tried, but on your planet you have not even the beginning of a system whereby there could be kept continually before the minds of your children the real goal to be striven for. I make exception of the few homes on your planet where the parents are in spiritual growth, but these homes are not ideal, just a beginning of idealism, but they are better far than the masses in their home conditions on your planet. Now, we are ready to do all we can towards stimulating the living of the Christ life among all souls in the universe when it can be so arranged, but it will take eons of time on some planets, and many decades on yours before we can scientifically teach you. To be sure, we are giving you all we can for this book, but it will not be universally accepted, although it will bring great joy to those who have faith. If you can keep some of the pictures we are giving you of the wonderful happiness we possess, it will help you in the sordidness of your own life. Picture beautiful things and your heart must be beautiful. Strive with all your mind to hold beautiful thoughts, for it is well worth your every effort towards faith. Chapter 11. Education and Training of the Individual. The people of Mars have a spoken and written language, but not so filled with complexities as yours, for the reason that owing to the high development of the mental faculties, thoughts are almost as audible as words. Hence, converse between individuals on our planet is not altogether a series of vocal ejaculations. On the contrary, among the older members of the race, communication between individuals is in some cases audibly imperceptible. Printed books are used, but mostly for the very young, as information is usually transmitted impressionally. Education on Mars begins at the mother's knee. The first knowledge imparted to the young is spiritual. The first lessons given to the child are one's absolute dependence on God, and that the few years before the individual are but an unfoldment, or an individualizing of the entity into a separate and distinct unit. The spiritual lessons are amplified as the child grows and grasps these truths. This procedure continues until the pupil is ready to enter an institution of learning. The home is the primary school, just as a physical existence on a planet is the kindergarten of a never-ending life. The parents are the first teachers. The primary education consists, as already said, in lessons on the necessity of expressing God in our lives in truth and righteousness, in order that the mind of the individual be so molded and fashioned that absolute faith is placed in God's promises through the Master, Christ. The keynote to the education of the individual is that one must first seek God's kingdom, and that all knowledge and wisdom, which is the divine heritage of all, will be easily attained, and that coming into a knowledge of God means health, happiness and wisdom. After the individual has grasped the primary lessons, which result in an unfoldment of the spirit within, he is then sent to a school, but a school system different from anything you have on your earth. The task of the teacher is not to teach knowledge, but to assist in bringing out what is already latent in the soul, rather than a set routine, for every individual is considered a master in some line of thought and activity. The pupil is led into knowledge instead of being taught directly. The individual is left to his own tastes and volition. The harmony of music of God's laws, which embrace astronomy, physics and of life, together with a knowledge of the laws of electricity, is especially brought to the attention of the individual. You of the earth know as yet very little concerning the true nature of electricity. Your methods of handling and generating this wonderful force are crude indeed, by comparison with the deep knowledge attained on Mars with the subject. And so with the study and development of the harmony of music, we of Mars have developed a high spiritual sense, and are able to hear and see many intermediate degrees of vibration that do not exist at all for you. Of course, there are some exceptions among the few of your earth who, after having striven hard for light, have been favored by God's angels in the development of a higher spirituality. Our teachers are guides who look after their charges in an atmosphere of love and, as a result, right conceptions of truth are acquired by the pupil. Thought is the expression or fruit of the spirit, and Martian children are never allowed to forget their spiritual growth. As a consequence of this, they are easily led into true knowledge, and having a broad vision are able to see all things in their true relations. They begin at the cause and work towards the effect, which is the opposite of your system. No set rules of discipline are used in the schools. Indeed, they are not necessary for the reason that the one ideal, the one goal impressed on the mind of the pupil is the complete expression of the Father within, for to express the Father is to have perfect life, life in abundance. Concentration of mind, economy of time and energy are studied and learned by the child in the early part of his career. Astronomy on our planet offers an ideal field in seeking an understanding of the reign of immutable law through the infinite universe of God, and owing to the clear rarefied atmosphere of Mars, unusual opportunity is presented to students in visual observations of the heavens. Entire classes of advanced students, accompanied by their teacher guides, repair to the open at night when the canopy of God's heavens is ablaze with scintillating points of light. The different constellations as viewed from our planet present the same general appearance as to configuration as they do to the dwellers on your Earth, but the view is decidedly more vivid by reason of a more advantageous viewpoint. The so-called superior planets, such as Saturn, Jupiter, some of the larger asteroids, and Uranus and Neptune, are nearer to Mars than to Earth, and for that reason are more easily discerned from this vantage point. Some of the satellites of Jupiter are easily seen with the naked eye. Your Earth appears to us about as Jupiter does to you, and with our observing instruments we are able to see your continent and oceans when not covered by a cloud canopy. As to the so-called inferior planets Venus and Mercury, the former presents the appearance of a star of the first magnitude, but being so near the Sun it is only visible an hour before or after sunset, depending upon its position. But Mercury, being so near the solar orb, it is rarely its position is favorable for observation from our planet, and then only with our more perfect telescopes. Our students view the phenomena of eclipses of the Sun and our planet with the greatest interest, just as your astronomers do. Mars' two moons present what would appear to you a most striking phenomenon, for one rises in the east and the other in the west, passing each other at times within view of observers. The most distant satellite of Mars is known to us as Laster, to which has been given the name of Deimos by the first observers on your Earth. Approximately 132 hours elapse between its rising and setting at any particular point on our planet, as a consequence of the fact that it revolves in 30 hours 18 minutes at a distance of 14,600 miles more or less from its primary, and as Mars rotates in 24 hours 37 minutes from east to west, the motion is almost neutralized by the circulation of this satellite. During the time of its rotation it changes four times from full to new to full. The appearance of this satellite to the Martians is equal, if not a little brighter than the view of Jupiter from your Earth. The second satellite, known to us as Bennii, and to your astronomers as Phobos, sheds considerable amount of light on the Martian landscape by means of its large size and close proximity, being distant about 3,700 miles from the surface of Mars. This satellite is shut out from view beyond 69 degrees latitude by reason of the curvature of its primary. Its period is 7 hours and 30 minutes less than one-third the time of the rotation of Mars. It rises in the west and courses across the heavens in 11 hours, during which time it undergoes one entire cycle of its phases and gets through half another. Its disk appears to us as a little more than half of the moon's disk on your Earth at full appears to you. The realm of physics presents another interesting study to the Martian student. We have advanced to the study of nature's laws to a point which would appear to your understanding most incomprehensible. Long ago we mastered the knowledge of the method of releasing interatomic energy, to a knowledge which in the brain of an unscrupulous person would be most disastrous, not only to himself but to those about him. The energy locked up in an atom of matter is tremendous, and the release of this power is only a matter of knowing the law. The inhabitants of your world will have to bide a long time before the key that will release this giant is placed within their reach. Not until you have eliminated your inherent selfishness, not before you have learned the lesson as Christ taught it, will you be permitted to harness one of the mightiest forces in the universe, a force equally as great for evil as it is for good. This knowledge we have, and we have utilized it in the construction and building of our mighty planetary projects. This interatomic energy is the source of the sun's continuous heat. If it were combustion, the solar orb would have burnt itself out ages ago. All your theories to account for the continuity of solar radiation are in error. The release of interatomic energy in the sun at a definite rate is the reason why its heat never increases or diminishes, though millions of years come and go in endless procession. And this process is not the working of a blind, senseless force, some of your scientists would have you believe, but the Creator, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent is the dominator, the directing intelligence, who sees to it that all is provided for his children. On your Earth you have thus far discovered some 85 elements. In order to complete the list of 92, to conform to the so-called periodic table, there are yet 7 elements to be found by your scientists. On Mars the most elementary school pupil is well informed on the subject, and his knowledge of the complete list among the new elements yet to be discovered by your chemists, and which exist in appreciable quantities on your Earth, is one which has the peculiar property of neutralizing gravity. This neutralizing is accomplished by screening off the gravitational pull when interposed between the Earth and the matter sought to be made immune from the attraction, just as you would insulate against the flow of electricity by interposing a non-conductor between two conducting metals. The knowledge and use of this element on Mars has been utilized in the solution of our transportation problem. Instead of cumbersome railroads consuming energy at a great loss, we use an almost perfect flying or floating ship. It is made buoyant by being screened from the gravitational pull of the planet. 3. Another subject of importance, that takes no little time to understand by the Martian student, is the part played by the planet's satellites in the generation of electromagnetic energy. The Sun, together with its circulating family of planets, is a huge electric motor, so a planet and its satellites are minor generators of electric energy. Satellites have a higher importance and necessity than the mere creation of moonshine. All the planets have their satellites, although your astronomers have not yet discovered any in the case of Mercury and Venus. The latter planet has a satellite whose distance is so close to its primary that its presence is lost in the intense reflection of light caused by Venus' cloudy atmosphere, which is much denser than that of your Earth. In the case of Mercury, owing to its extremely close proximity to the Sun, its satellite probably never will be seen by observers on your Earth, as it is lost in the intense brilliance cast by the solar orb on this planet. Chapter 12. Education and training of the individual, vocational determination, school age, marriage and science, continued. Everyone goes to school until the age of 16, that is, the length of time on Mars would correspond to 32 years on your Earth. The Martian year is nearly twice as long as on your globe. There are many universities on Mars where students enter direct from their homes, where the primary and preparatory education is first inculcated in their minds. Wonderful teachers have charge of the students, and many truths not yet known on your Earth are taught. Special and particular attention is given to the subject of the development of spiritual gifts to the end that all may come into man's divine heritage, the peace, power and plenty of the kingdom of God. Each student is selected for his or her proper vocation, and this vocation is determined scientifically and accurately, for what benefits the individual also benefits the entire community. Each individual is trained to perform his part in a manner that will ensure the unity and harmony of the entire industrial system of the planet, and each unit understands the dignity and importance of his position, no matter what that position may be. For on Mars no activity of human endeavor is considered menial, no one position in life is less important than the rest, all is God's work. And so each gravitates to his special liking in the realm of physical activity, for God has created each individual for some particular work. 6 hours is a day's work, the remainder of the time is devoted to recreation, music, lectures, and those general activities that best develop the highest spiritualities with the individual. For the Martians realize that life on the material plane is but temporary, the isolation of the individual divine spark from the infinite whole, to the end that the personality may become for all eternity self-conscious and in harmony with God, which means the inheritance of God's kingdom for all time. Failure to come into harmony with God is destruction of the individuality, but not of the divine in man, for that is indestructible, it always was and always will be. Education on Mars is inculcated with a view principally of developing the individual spiritually in order to prepare one for the spiritual progress after the completion of the material probationary period, as well as having life in greatest abundance during that period, and with this main end in view the subject of marriage, the rearing of children, receives special consideration and attention. The pivotal idea is that when the time for mating arrives, the selection of a wife by the prospective husband must be in accordance with true conjugal harmony, and this is not possible in the absence of spiritual development. Hence, divorces are unknown with us, and to that end is special care taken in the matter of teaching the truth concerning the marital relation, the rearing of children and their spiritual growth. The marriage age for both sexes is about 35 years. In terms of your time measurements, the result of this early training is that the young couple just embarked on the sea of matrimony are true mates and go through life without the usual occurrence of domestic turmoil so characteristic of your Earth's people. Marriage on your Earth, with but few exceptions, has degenerated from God's holiest of institutions to a happy convenience for the gratification of the animal passions, and the rearing of children is an accident rather than a preconceived reality. Such marriages are unholy and destructive, and unless your people respond to a spiritual awakening such as God's workers are now trying to inaugurate on your Earth, the growing degeneracy will be augmented rather than diminished, and the extinction of the race will be inevitable. The curriculum of our schools embraces all branches of domestic science, as well as all the sciences, with the difference from your system that spiritual development must be the principal task of those having supervision over the studies of the young. One of the subdivisions of domestic science receiving particular attention on Mars is the preparation of foods. With an atmospheric pressure of only 8 pounds to the square inch, water boils at 175 degrees on our planet. This temperature is inadequate for cooking foods properly, especially the coarser varieties. But recourse is had to the cooking of food in vacuum or under pressure, as the exigencies of the occasion demand. Electrical energy is used most generally for producing heat, and the variety of foods, both animal and vegetal, are as extensive as on your planet, for the flora and fauna of Mars differs little from yours. Martians are not excessive eaters, as their bodies do not require the gross foods so characteristic of your Earth. There are two reasons for this. In the first place, the difference in the gravitational pull on Mars being 38/100 to that of your Earth, obviates the necessity of supplying as much fuel to the human body as your physical makeup demands. In the second place, the Martians partake of food to keep the body alive, and not for the vulgar pleasure afforded by the consumption of victuals. We eat to live, whereas most of your Earth tenants live to eat. Although each individual has his particular place in the universe where he will excel in some kind of activity, there being no two persons in all creation exactly alike, the student on Mars is given an opportunity to obtain a broad and comprehensive knowledge relating to all subjects, both material and spiritual. The study of matter, divided as it is into a number of elements, offers an interesting field for study and research work, as does also its concomitant cosmic energy. Compared to your Earth, industry on Mars, by the aid of labor-saving devices, is perfect, and as a consequence the use of energy is considerable, especially so in the realm of synthetic chemistry. But it must be understood that the individual is taught that dependence must be placed rather on one's own dexterity, born of that God-given faculty of intuition, than on the perfectness of a man-made machine, the creation of finite mind. For it has so happened to races on other planets that complete degeneration and final extinction has come about by the entire dependence of the individual and afterwards of the entire race on machinery to do the work required of the individual by the Creator, such dependence finally terminating in almost complete atrophy of the worker's intuitional faculties. This calamity will surely overtake your future generations if a halt is not called on the overzealous adoption of automatic machines for most every line of industrial activity. You are now getting to the stage where the most simple and elementary mathematical problems are solved by merely pressing a few buttons or turning a crank, the operator understanding little or nothing of the fundamentals underlying the solution of the problems in hand. This means, in the near future, brain atrophy through disuse. And so with other lines of industrial activity. Not one among a thousand workers engaged in making shoes can do other than make, heal or perform some simple operation, one of hundreds of units in the completion of a pair of shoes. And perhaps it would be impossible to find one individual whose intuitional faculties were developed to the extent that he could turn out the perfect, completed article. In order to explain how far we have succeeded on Mars in harnessing a mighty universal force to the end of utilizing the same in turning our factory wheels, lighting our domiciles and giving warmth to our homes in winter, it might not be amiss to state a few facts concerning our knowledge of matter and energy. We have learned that material life simply amounts to functioning in an effect world. The cause world is the reality which is invisible to all while hampered with a physical body, that all forms of matter are but the manifestation of the same ultimate essence, that this essence is but a divine impulse, a thrust, as it were, in the ether. That although we observe with our sensory organs many different kinds of matter, consisting of elements and compounds of elements, if we were able to resolve any of the different forms of matter before us into their ultimate units, these ultimate particles would all turn out to be the same thing, the divine impulses just mentioned. Now you can best grasp the idea by imagining yourselves immersed in an infinite sea of such divine impulses, just as a fish is immersed in an ocean of water. Everywhere, all about us, is a teeming maelstrom of motion. There is not a cubic centimeter of space that you can call at rest. All is eternal motion. All is energy. And out of this inexhaustible cosmic reservoir do we Martians draw our energy. And as the divine impulse is the ultimate essence of all matter and all energy, therefore you might imagine matter in its different aspects as electrical in origin. As electricity is a manifestation of the divine impulse, then the only reality in the universe is God. We have learned to utilize this cosmic energy by getting into harmony with its origin God, for only through God can true knowledge be obtained. On your Earth you have devised a very crude method for utilizing electrical energy. You expend more energy by burning coal or using water power than you derive from your electrical pump, for a dynamo is nothing more than a pump. Your machines do not generate electrical power, for, as stated before, you are immersed in an infinite sea of energy. On Mars we have learned to draw directly on this infinite reservoir of energy. We have learned the law as you someday must. Located at convenient points on our planet are high towers, capped with suitable receiving apparatus. In turn this energy is transmitted to different parts of our globe where it is used. We do not require wires to transmit energy. Our landscape is neither disfigured with unsightly wires, nor is it covered with a pall of black smoke. We devised a more perfect method of power production and transmission. The relativity of time, space, motion and matter is an actuality brought to the attention of advanced students on Mars. An understanding of this truth exemplifies the unreality of the world of gross matter and the importance of gaining knowledge concerning spiritual truths, for the latter are the only real tangible treasures worthy of one's efforts in their acquisition. Already a knowledge of these truths is beginning to be sought for by some of the more spiritually enlightened inhabitants of your Earth. But so immersed in the unreal things of life is the vast majority of your Earth people that it will take a long time before the present seed sowing toward this end will bear fruit. The seed sowing referred to is the work of enlightenment now going on by a mighty group of spiritual intelligences who, at the present day, have in hand the task of spiritual reformation on your Earth. Only truth can stand in the end. All that is unreal or false must ultimately give way to truth. And omniscience has willed that the day when error shall be no more shall be hastened. There are other planes of existence for the spirit, many of them. But they are simply extensions beyond your limited vision, for as long as you function in a world of unreality and error, your spiritual vision is incapable of discerning what lies beyond your present horizon, and must remain dormant. Material eyes are but the windows of the soul, and your environment had so beclouded your vision that you grasp but little of the real things beyond. Chapter 13. Music, an expression of the Father. All material expressions of the Father, from the simplest chemical element to the most complex compound, from the one cell protoplasmic life germ to the most complex organism, are vibratory in their ultimate nature. As has been stated elsewhere in this book, material life is the vibratory reflection from the cause world into an effect world. The universe is a vibratory expression of an absolute reality God, a material expression of divine harmony. And as harmony is an expression of the Father, its antithesis, discord, is the creation of man. Of all the vibrations that more fully express the Father and arouse the emotional within the soul, music must of necessity head the list. Owing to man's degeneration or fall, on your earth, he has lost all receptibility to the more refined vibratory tones of the chromatic scale. And for the same reason he has lost receptibility to intermediate vibrations in the color spectrum, which has clouded or stultified his visional faculties. The long waves of the infrared and the short waves of the ultraviolet ends of the spectrum are invisible to your earth people except in rare cases of developed mediumship, though your photograph plates are somewhat sensitive to these vibrations. You are immersed in commercialism and other selfish pursuits while all around you is a beautiful rainbow universe, vibrating with music too heavenly for your dulled perceptions to enjoy. On Mars, the development of the musical talent is held to be of primary importance. The laws of harmony are part of the curriculum of all schools, and all necessary paraphernalia for its proper exposition are provided. We have instruments for measuring tone vibrations of so delicate a pitch that the existence of these tones would be a blank to the gross material ears of the inhabitants of your world. Music arouses the innermost emotions of the soul, and its effect on the individual is proportionate to his degree of spiritual development. Music is harmony, but it also creates an atmosphere of harmony. The music of the spheres is a living reality, for harmony is the very essence of the cosmos. By music of the spheres is meant the harmonious interrelation of all spiritual planes. Every unit in the universe is in perfect accord one with the other, and all are functioning in perfect unison. Every solar orb and every planet responds to harmonious law. The cosmos as a whole is the expression of a divine symphony. When man's spiritual progress has attained a degree of enfoldment entitling him to come into possession of his divine heritage, then will the sublime vibrations of the spheres be a reality to him. On Mars, divers instruments are used for producing musical harmony, and much of this harmony is of such a subtle nature that your crude instruments could not give expression to it. We have a means of producing harmony of the highest order by utilizing ethereal electric vibration, which produces light vibrations corresponding to tone production. For true electric vibration is real music. This device resembles a series of globes, all transparent, colorless when not in action. But immediately they are allowed to produce music, they become units of color and tone work that would give you the impression of seeing and hearing a rainbow simultaneously. You are not ready to receive the scientific explanation of this phenomenon, but we are ready to give it to you at any time. Singing is also highly developed on our planet, for it is the first expression of harmony that the child is taught. This is true for the reason that vocal music is the most natural expression of harmonious vibrations. Much time is devoted to ensemble work among our people of all ages. This chorus work is of great benefit to all partaking, for individually and collectively much inspiration is received, and the tremendous love force loosened by this united expression of harmony becomes a phenomenal power and stimulus, a purifying agent for soul and body. This will help you to realize why disease is unknown to us. In the development of the musical talents of the individual on Mars, the pupil is impressed with the necessity of expressing the true self, and the original improvisation or composition is the method by which the pupil expresses his understanding of the subject. No one attempts to ape the technique or genius of another, for on Mars all are geniuses. This is true in every form of activity. All must be creators to express individuality. When an individual on Mars has surpassed all others in some special expression of divine harmony, the product of his genius is for the benefit of all. Hence copyrights and patents are unknown on our planet. Chapter 14 Aeronautics, Inhabited Planets, Sectarianism.